Well, good morning, Sunbury City Church. I absolutely love that song we just had, I mean, God, you're so good. I hope we all believe that this morning. And we're going to actually see that theme of God being good throughout our passage this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. And as I was reading over this psalm and studying the psalm, a specific moment of my life came to my mind. So it was about 10 years ago, so 2010, South Carolina summer day. And I will say, that South Carolina summer day, it was very unpleasant. I mean, it was hot, it was humid. It's like right when you walked outside, wave of sweat hit you. You couldn't breathe. It was just one of those hot South Carolina summer days. Very unpleasant. But despite how unpleasant that day was, I was excited. There's a local church in the community that was having this family community fun day. There was going to be water slides. There was going to be bouncy houses. There was going to be food, games, drinks, make your own tie-dye t-shirt. Like, the church was having it all. And I remember just being excited for that day. And I had my little brother and my little sister with me, and we took off to the church. So there at the church, we were just running around. We were laughing. We were having so much fun. They even had, like, I haven't seen this anywhere else. They had this thing where you put a Velcro suit on, okay? You run, jump on a trampoline with a Velcro suit on, and you just stick on a wall. And so, like, you'll do, like, a flip on the wall. You can, like, you're just hanging there. I mean, it was just a lot of fun. And I just remember just cutting up with them throughout that day. Well, without really thinking much of it, this beautiful blue sky, hot day, a wave of dark clouds came over, right? And this happens in Pennsylvania all the time. Right, it's a blue sky, and then you blink, it's a dark gray sky. Exactly what happened. So we didn't really think much of it. It's just an ordinary South Carolina summer day. Well, out of nowhere, I got this weird feeling. Have you ever had that feeling like it's just too quiet? It's just too still? It's just too eerie? That's what was happening. Although there's people running around and playing, I looked up in the sky. There was not a bird to be seen. The trees were not moving. They were just rooted, planted. It was like cement, right? The world was still. And then out of nowhere, like the canopy of the sky broke loose and just rain came pouring down on us. So the people at the church, they're like, all right, it's time to go inside. You can come inside church and wait till the rain has eased up. So we went inside the church. And I remember sitting at a pew close to a window that you can see through. And I look outside this window, and the rain's not easing up. It's just getting more and more and more intense. So much so, I look over at my siblings, and they're getting afraid. They're starting to cry. The wind is howling now. And I look at the trees. The trees look like they're about to just bend over, touching the ground. I mean, it's just power. It's just got intense. The power went out. Kids crying. And I'm going to be honest, I was afraid. I was really afraid of what was happening. I've never seen a storm that strong. Little did we know, on the other side of the church, not too many yards past it, a tornado was going by, just destroying everything in its path. So finally, the storm eased up, and we were able to go back outside, and it was weird. It's like the sky was back normal. So we get back in the truck, heading back home. I'm on the road having to swerve trees and power lines and power poles on the ground. I mean, it was just absolute chaos. And we get to our house. I haven't seen anything like this. Our house was completely destroyed. About half of it was. Really, about 50 yards from our house, a part of our roof was in a tree. Like, this tornado just came by with no mercy and destroyed everything. I was really afraid. I was really, really in fear of that storm. And really, if I'm honest, I'm still afraid of storms. There's days where if it's storm outside, like, I have, like, flashbacks of that day. I hate driving in storms. I hate the idea of storms because I immediately think, all right, there's a tornado coming. Our whole house is about to be destroyed. That storm cripples me. And I'm wondering, I'm just wondering, how many of us, when we're in fear, a fear that's crippling, how it motivates us. For me, it motivates me to want to run and hide. Sometimes when we get really afraid, we just want to cry and we don't want to leave our bed. We don't want to face life. But what if I tell you, church? What if I tell you that we can take the fears that this world offers and trade it for another kind of fear? Now that sounds weird. Chapin, why would I want to take one fear in replace of another? Here's the difference. A fear that it's a holy fear. A fear of God. Where we become so in awe of how glorious He is and how mighty He is that you know nothing in this world can touch Him. That we have a true knowing of the fear of God. Where for me, when I was afraid of that storm, it's a fear that produces anxiety. Where when we have a healthy understanding of what it means to fear God, it doesn't produce anxiety, church, but what we will see in our psalm this morning, that it's going to produce blessing. So this is going to be our main point this morning, and it's going to sound weird, but hang in there with me. Your best life here on this small, weak planet, your best life is going to be a fearful life. And we're going to unpack that this morning. So if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open up to Psalm 128 as we dive in to the holy word of God. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children, children's children. Peace be upon Israel. So this is a great psalm to be part of the Psalm of Ascent, right? So let's now back into the shoes of God's children, right? They're making this journey to Jerusalem, to Mount Zion. They're making this journey. And it was a treacherous journey, right? Like, we're in the desert. It's hot. At night, the thieves come out. On their journey, they're faced with other gods, other idols, other worshipers. And I can see this journey being a fearful journey. But when God's children get to Psalm 128, they recognize that God is greater and that He is bigger than the thieves in the night, that He's greater and He's bigger than these other false little gods on their journey, that He's even greater and bigger than the hot desert sun. And I can just imagine the joy that came upon them as they got to this psalm. Although they're talking about fearing the Lord, they recognize and know His greatness. And same for us. This psalm is extremely important for us. One thing I found interesting, really from Psalm 120 to 127, we've really seen a unique and beautiful attribute of God, right? We've seen how God is with us in distress, how the Lord watches and keeps over us. We've seen that the Lord has been gracious and merciful to us. We saw that the Lord builds His kingdom, right? So knowing all these amazing attributes of our Savior, what is our response to that? Well, this is Psalm 128. our only response to a gracious, to a holy, to a merciful, powerful God is a response of fear. Where it makes us want to humbly bow down before Him. Because we recognize that we don't deserve mercy. We recognize that we don't deserve the Lord watching over us. We recognize that we do not deserve anything. But yet the Lord, in His beauty and in His attributes, gives them to us anyways. A fear of God that will not produce worry or anxiety, but blessing. So our first point this morning, when fear is blessing, when fear is blessing. So just to really all cards on the table right now, church, I truly have a massive concern for the church. I do. My heart breaks for the church. I truly believe one of my passions is loving and serving in the church, in the kingdom of God. But this is my concern, and really strictly speaking of our Western Americanized church, is that we have done this one thing, and we've taken God for granted. Right? Right now, all around our country, it's like this idea of our country taking away freedoms from the church. And then all of a sudden we care? All of a sudden we want to fight? It's like we slowly, over time, have taken the blessings of the Lord for granted. We've taken Him for granted. Instead of holding Him up to this holy and reverent God. We have treated God as if sometimes we can throw Him in the back seat like a McDonald's to-go bag, and then every Sunday we'll pull it out and remember it's there. To really get this psalm, church, we're going to have to know, what does it truly mean to fear the Lord? And fearing the Lord is not treating God like He's some to-go bag. But I believe the author of Hebrews really helps us. Hebrews 12, 28, 29. Write this verse down and mull on this verse after the service and when you get home. Talk about it with your family, because this verse is truly trembling. It says this, Hebrews 12, 28 and 29. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So right there, the author of Hebrews is saying, the Lord, what He does will not be shaken. His kingdom will be rooted. Nothing or no one can affect His kingdom. And thus, all right, since God has a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and thus, here it is, let us offer to God acceptable worship. So what's acceptable worship? He tells us, with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That the only response, church, that the only response of us sitting in these pews and in me standing up here is acceptable worship, where we're in just awe and reverence of who He is, because He is a consuming fire. To really paint this picture, I think this will help with this idea of God being a consuming fire. See, we don't necessarily teach our kids that fire is bad, right? We actually teach them that fire is good, because fire brings beauty, right? We light birthday candles with fire. We teach kids that fire can use to cook, to provide heat for our home. Like, fire is a good thing. We don't want them to be afraid of fire. But this is the difference. We don't teach our kids that fire is a toy, right? Because what happens when you begin to make fire a toy? You'll burn your house down. You will begin to flatten acres of land. I mean, just this earlier this year, Australia, how many acres of land did they lose in their wildfires? Fire is unrelenting. I mean, it's powerful. And if you mess with it, you're going to get burned and it's going to hurt. So like God is this consuming fire. And it's something that we shouldn't put away like a toy in a toy chest. That we just take out to get our fix and have fun. No, He's a consuming fire. He brings beauty. He brings sustainability. He brings comfort. He brings protection. We don't mess with fire. And that's the concern I have for the church, that we have been playing with God like he is a toy fire. So I hope we, throughout this song, we can stand back and see that, God is worthy so much more than been thinking of like a toy. So look at verse 1. It says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord." So right from the start, the psalmist is telling us that, all of us are blessed if you fear the Lord. So thinking of, who God is, and, thinking of why we should fear God. God is all-knowing, right? He, knows every step of our lives. He, knows the plan, and he is completely all-powerful. He can make his will be completed. No one else can do that. I used to struggle with Adam and Eve. I always struggle with, like, God, why did you create Adam and Eve? Like, they sinned. You knew that they were going to sin. Like, why did you do it? And I'm not saying this is the perfect answer or the best answer, but part of me wrestling through that question is one of these answers of that, well, God is all-powerful to still bring redemption. He was powerful enough to bring out a Savior for us. So God is a plan A God. No one else is strictly plan A. God, he is all loving, but yet he is all judge. How we love to preach God's love. How we love to tell people about God's love. But rarely do we want to talk about God's judgment. If you're an unbeliever, the eternal judgment of God should genuinely make you afraid. You should genuinely be afraid of that. Because you're standing toe to toe with a holy God. So God is all loving. He's all judge. And by no means, when we think about one who is blessed that fears the Lord, is this something that we just add to a checklist? Like, all right, today at 3 p.m., I'm going to fear God. It doesn't work that way. Fearing God, church, is who we are. It's the way we keep obeying the word. It's the way that we stay faithful. So fearing God is just who we are as Christians. It's who we are as his saints. Church, we are fragile people. So when we hold his word, this is the very holy word of God that our fragile hands are holding. When we go to prayer, we're praying to a glorious throne where he is sitting on as fragile, sinful people. Doesn't that make you want to just be in awe? That he's invited us in to do that? So to really crystallize it this way, fearing God, I'll say it this way, to crystallize. Where you and I, where we would not dare, we wouldn't even dare for a millisecond consider worshiping anything or anyone else. Because we recognize that nothing in this world can stand toe to toe with a holy God like him. Church, like, we wouldn't even dare consider worshiping money. We wouldn't dare consider worshiping our spouse because we know that God is greater and bigger than they are. But yet we have this cultural pressure pushing us that you must become your own God. Let me ask you, do you want to stand toe-to-toe with God? Culture is pushing us that money and success is your God. Do you want money and success to be toe-to-toe with God? Do you want lust to be your God? This is why we fear God, church. Because we understand who he is. The psalmist says that blessed is the one who fears the Lord. So what is this blessing then? What is this blessing? It's the blessing of knowing him, church. It's the blessing of knowing who he is. It's the joy and happiness that comes from knowing God. Where you know deep down in your mind and in your heart that the only thing you need in this world, in this lifetime, is the knowledge of Him. It's knowing who God is. Because this is what happens. And I just love this. That this blessing produces joy. It produces happiness. What knowing God is what sustains us. So you may be in a difficult season in your life. This world is messy. It's chaotic. It's full of suffering. It's full of trials. We all know that. We all have heard that. But the way we can have joy in the midst of that is knowing God. Because when you fear God, all you want to do is to push deeper, to push wider, to push longer in your relationship with the Lord. Did you know, church? Did you know that the Lord wants you to have joy? That joy doesn't have to be this optional thing. But joy can be real. So when cancer hits, you can have joy. When your wife gets sick, you can have joy. When finances get tight, you can have joy. When your kids are just struggling, you can have joy. Because in the midst of knowing it all, you worship a God who is greater than all. You can have joy, church. So whatever you're going through today, ask God for joy. Ask for Him to break the walls in your heart where you truly have the appropriate fear of the Lord dwelling within you. Fear of the Lord, church, is a blessing for us to know God greater. But this leads us to our second point. Not only is the Lord blessing us, but we see His faithfulness. So point two is this. When fear is faithful. So look at this promise that God gives and His faithfulness and His blessing. So verses 4 and 5 of our psalm. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Okay, so we just unpacked that. That was in verse 1. We just saw that the one who fears the Lord is blessed. We just unpacked that. But here it is. Here's the faithful promise of the Lord. The Lord will bless you from Zion. Okay, well, this sounds weird for us. Well, let's think about the Psalm of Ascent. Let's think about God's children. Why are they traveling to Zion? They're traveling to worship. They're traveling to get their sins forgiven. What a blessing the Lord has given them. So for the one who is faithfully fearing the Lord on this journey, that they're going to end in Zion where the Lord will bless them. Bless them where they get to be in community. Bless them where they get to worship. Bless them where they get to have their sins forgiven. So for us, what about us today in the 21st century Christians? Well, we don't have to travel to Zion. Zion, in a sense, has came to us. The Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. We have the blessing daily, 24/7, dwelling within us. God has been faithful to His promise of giving us His Spirit. We see that in the book of Acts. When Jesus ascended into the heaven, He left a helper, and that helper was the Holy Spirit. So if you're a believer this morning, you have the helper of the Holy Spirit. The Lord has been faithful in His blessing to you. But what about us? What about us who, in turn, should be faithful to the Lord? I think a great passage of Scripture that really helps paint this picture of fearing the Lord and being faithful to the Lord and how these two are married together is in Mark 4. Mark 4. So what we see throughout Mark 4 is Jesus doing ministry. He's teaching parables, He's doing miracles, and a great crowd has gathered on Jesus. So what Jesus says, he tells His disciples, like, all right, it's time to go to the other side. Right, so Jesus says, let's leave this crowd, let's go to the other side and begin to do ministry there. So what happens? The disciples and Jesus, they get in the boat. They begin to make their journey to the other side. And I love in Mark 4 where it says that, and Jesus was in the stern asleep on a cushion. Jesus is straight just being a man. He needs rest. And we see the full man of Jesus right there just completely resting. But while Jesus was resting, the disciples are just freaking out. They are just running around like with a chicken head cut off because there's a massive windstorm coming. Waves are breaking into the boat. I can just imagine them trying to get the water in a bucket out. The massive winds and waves. I mean, they're truly afraid. They're running around. So their response, they run to Jesus, who is sleeping, wakes them up. And you may know this. When Jesus woke up, he went to the deck of the ship, looked out upon the waters that with the waves and the wind, and said these three words, "Peace, be still." And immediately, there's stillness. And I think a lot of sermons will like to end there. Amen, hallelujah. Jesus has authority over nature. And he does. Praise the Lord that he does. But Jesus was not done after he said, "Peace, be still," because he goes to his disciples. And I think this is the question that we must ask ourselves as Jesus asked the disciples. When we think of fear, he asks this to his disciples. He says, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And immediately, Scripture says, the disciples were filled with fear. Not in fear of the windstorm, not in fear of the water, not in fear of the waves, but the fear because they are looking at a fully God in full humanity in all of his glory. So here it is, church. The disciples in their own ability, I could just imagine, they're on the wheel trying to get to land. They're raising and lowering the sails, scooping water out of the boat. They were trying everything in their own power to fix this fearful situation when all they had to do was go to Jesus. That's all they had to do. Second part of verse 1 says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways." Church, our faithfulness to Christ is essential when we think about fearing the Lord. And if I could summarize it in one sentence that's just straight to the point, is this. That you and I, we are faithful to the one who we fear. I'll say it again. That you and I, we are faithful to the one we fear. So if you're afraid of a storm, you're going to do everything to protect yourself from a storm. And if you're afraid of man, if you're afraid of culture, you're going to do everything you can for man and for culture. I just think it's so evident within our own lives and my life that we have this great desire to be approved. Just the idea of being disapproved sends shivers down our spine. The idea of saying no, Lord help us. The idea of upsetting someone, we buy things we can't afford, we do things we shouldn't do, because we have this great desire to be approved by man. We're more faithful to man than we are to God. But when we have a right, healthy understanding of what it means to fear the Lord, no longer would you want to fear man, but everything is in this basket of fearing the Lord. There's two ways that I want to challenge us this morning as we posture ourselves in fearing the Lord. First is this, pray humbly. Pray humbly. We must be desperate, church. When we go to the Lord, there's nothing within us that deserves it. There's nothing. Everything that we do as far as communicating and praying to the Lord must be on a humble foot. So just to say, you're a parent or a grandparent, you're struggling with your kids. Like, we can do the best we can, right? We can do the best in discipline, we can do the best raising them, we can do the best teaching them. We can do it all. Grandparents with your grandkids, same thing. But the question I want to ask you, have you sought the best parent, God the Father? Recognizing that you're not a good parent, but yet the greatest parent is God. that daily we sin as humans. Daily we're fallen, and our sins remind us of that fallen nature. But yet there's a Father who has never sinned. There's a Father that has been completely lavished His grace upon us, and we must be humble and recognize that He truly is the greatest parent. So when you feel stuck, when you feel desperate, when you feel like you have exhausted all your resources, I challenge you, just plead with God. Plead with a heart of humility. And not saying that's going to fix the situation. I'm not saying that's going to be the answer to the problem. But what it will do, it will bring out joy in you, knowing that you are in tune with the Heavenly Father. That you're in tune with the great, good Father. And the second way I want to challenge us this morning as we think about posturing ourselves, fearing God, is to read gratefully. And I've said it earlier this morning that we have to stop taking the word of the Lord for granted. With every word, with every sentence, with every syllable that God has spoken for us. So when we read the word, it's not something that we just close and we put on our shelf till next week. Just some things to help us read more gratefully. After you read a passage, do this question. What's the main point? Just ask that. What's the main point of Psalm 128? Well, blessed is the one who fears the Lord. All right? And then ask the question, how do I apply that, Lord? How do I apply fearing the Lord? Lord, help me see that you are greater today. When I go to work, help me not be in fear of my coworkers today, Lord. Help me recognize that you are greater and bigger than anything and anyone else. What you're doing, you're trying to get the word in your heart. You're trying to get your word in the daily life. So instead of us closing it and putting it on the shelf, but yet we're investing, we're diving deeper into it. And here's the blessing of it all, church, that when we are faithfully fearing the Lord, to our third and final point this morning, we'll see the fruit. When fear is fruitful. When fear is fruitful. So before we get to the verse, I just want to challenge us to just take these truths of who we know of God and preach them to your heart daily. When you wake up, preach the truth that I must fear the Lord today. Because it's just the grace of the Lord that you're awake. When you see your wife or your husband or your kids, preach the truth that God has blessed you and given you a family. Preach the truth to your heart daily so that you can then see the fruit of fearing the Lord. Because look at verses 2 and 3. It says, you shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands, and you shall be blessed. It shall be well with you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. So right here, the psalmist is using family as kind of like an illustration to show the fruitfulness of faithfully fearing the Lord. So he begins with the husband. So husbands, you want to see your wives be fruitful? Fruitful in the Lord? Well, first, you have to be fruitful. You have to work in the Lord. You have to be faithful. Wives, husbands, you want to see your kids be fruitful in the Lord? You have to be fruitful in the Lord. So you see how that transcends down? So what that means, being faithful in the Lord, working and seeing the fruit and fearing the Lord, that we are willing, church, that you're willing to put to death your own sin, where you are pursuing Christ above all else, where you are humbling yourself to your kids, to your husband, to your wife, to your neighbors. You're counting others more significant than yourself. You're serving others. See, that's the fruit we're talking about. The fruit that can transcend to our wives and to our kids. And this doesn't necessarily have to apply to the context of our family. Let's think about work. You want a fruitful environment at work or in your community or in your neighborhood? It begins with you. Are you putting others ahead of yourself? Are you teaching others that they are more important than you? Are you humbling yourself? Are you reflecting what Christ has done to others Because all these things that we're mentioning is what Christ did for us. Christ came to be a servant. Christ came and as a king, humbled himself to become a man. Christ did these things, so we too must reflect those things. Let's be honest, church. I'll be the first to admit. Everything I've said this morning has been a challenge. The idea of fearing the Lord, the idea of being faithful to the Lord, that's hard. It's challenging. Because every day when I wake up, my own sin, my own flesh wants to do the opposite of this. Every single day. Every day. Here's the beauty. We fail, church. We fail at fearing the Lord well. But Jesus Christ perfectly feared the Lord. So you want to see fruit in your life? You want to see fruit in your kids' life? You have to be connected to Christ. And I don't think Jesus made a mistake when he said these words in John 15. He said this, "Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine." And here it is. "Neither can you, neither can me, unless you and me abide in Christ." For any brief second, if we think that we could be completely humble, put others in front of us without Christ, we have completely failed. Because if you want to see fruit, it comes from the vine, and Christ is the vine. Christ is working out big and mighty ways through us, church. Look at verses 5 and 6. It says, "May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." You see the fruit? The fruit that Jerusalem will always have prosperity. The reason why our children's children can know the Lord is because of the fruit of what he has done in believers through the work of his Spirit, that his children will be prosperous because of Christ. But here's the thing, church, as we wrap up. For us today as the church to be prosperous, Christ had to become poor. The city that was supposed to be full of prosperity, Jerusalem, he actually had to go there to be beaten. He was the one that went to the prosperity city of Jerusalem to be scourged, to be tried as an innocent man. So that you and me and our children and our children's children can be rich. The rich of knowing Christ. The rich of having a healthy knowledge of God. That's the prosperity. That's the blessing of Zion. That the work of Christ that he did on the cross for us, church. And here's the beautiful part. But yet the most heartbreaking part, that when Christ was on the cross, his Father turned his face away. He couldn't console his Son because he was full of sin. But yet, for us, when we close our eyes on this eternity and when we're standing before a holy and reverent God, full of awe, that we don't have to run. We don't have to hide in a bush. We don't have to cry. We don't have to feel ashamed because of what Christ has done for us. So, our main point this morning, your best life is a fearful life. Church, your best life is a God-centered life. It's a life that's rooted in his word. It's a life rooted in prayer. It's a life rooted in his body. Do you believe that? Do you believe what Scripture calls our God? A holy, glorious Creator who intimately desires to know us, these weak, feeble clay pots. Let us pray. Father, you are truly deserving of all worship. You are truly deserving of all praise. And Father, I just pray that if there's any ounce within us, there's any ounce within us that thinks we have it together, Father, I pray we confess that. And as we think about fearing the Lord, if there is anything else that would dare try to dethrone you as a God, Father, I pray we confess that. If it's our family, if it's success, if it's money, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that our hearts are completely sold into you. Allow us to have a true fear of you where we can be faithful and obey everything you have called us to say. Father, we love you. We thank you. Amen.